like to continue. If you're new here this morning, I'm doing a year-long series. That just sounds like a long time even saying that. I can't believe I just said that. But I actually went to this church growth kind of multi-site conference in Seattle. You remember last time, one of the guys was saying, well, if you're going to do series, you probably shouldn't go any longer than probably 4 or 5 weeks. And everybody looked down the aisle at me. Oh, man, I'm out of sync. However, I've at least used Jesus to kind of vindicate me. Since he talked about the kingdom for 3.5 years, it was his first message and his last. I feel like, come on, you're getting away easy. It's just a year. So come on, Jesus, you know, he talked about the kingdom for 3.5 years. That's no problem. And so we're at a stage in that year-long journey, exploration. We're at a section in there where I'm wanting to teach on a connection in the scriptures between the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God. All right? So you will have heard me draw that connection sometimes. Remember Jesus' words? He said, if you see me casting out demons by the Spirit of God, then you will know that the kingdom of God is amongst you. So hear the connection in there? That the ministry of the Spirit is a proof and an evidence that the kingdom of God is present and advancing in a place. And so for Christians, there's prayers that come out of that, like, Lord, I'd like to see your kingdom advance. Like, Lord, I'd like to be an agent in that. I'd like to see the kingdom advance through me. Here's my life. So we've done lots of teaching on that, the kingdom of God advancing through the people of God. So that's going to be an important connection. But now thirdly, you'll be able to say, not only do I want to see the kingdom advance and advance through me, but I'm getting some tools so I know how to do that. And one of the greatest tools in that arsenal is the ministry of the Spirit. So that when I'm ministering through the power of the person of the Holy Spirit, when I'm making space in my life for Him, and He's active in doing stuff, then through that, we're not just talking kingdom, but kingdom is actually happening. The stuff is actually happening around us. Okay? So last week or two, I did a couple from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. We looked at that, and where Jesus is teaching the last 40 days of His earthly life, His post-resurrection appearances, and He is teaching on two things, preoccupied with two things, the kingdom of God, 40 days on it, and teaching them to prepare for a coming of the Spirit. I also want to lay out our doctrine of the Holy Spirit as a church during this time. One of the roles of pastors is to teach doctrine, good doctrine. And so that we are not tossed about with every wind of doctrine that's out there. And that we have good foundations. And so this is not new to me. I am carrying on the doctrine as is taught to me by Bill and others in the church and carrying that on. Of course, every generation probably has a modern way of expressing that. But it is the same truths. And if you're new here and you think, I hope you think, oh good, you've come from a different expression, this could be important for you to kind of understand our reading on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit from the scriptures. Well, I want to begin, as I said, take a look at this from a number of angles. I want to look at the doctrine of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. I want to look at the person of the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus and the early apostles and other issues. But I'm going to start a place where it's always good to start. I'm going to start in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So you don't have to read very far in the Bible to have your first reference to the Holy Spirit. First couple of verses of the Bible. He's not come some kind of innocuous stranger who just makes appearances very irregularly in the Bible. If you want a good study, then just get a good Strong's Concordance, okay? And turn to it and look up every mention of the word Spirit in the Bible, every mention of the word Holy Spirit, and just do a study for it. It's loads of fun. And I know that you're probably going to want to do that this week. So I will not steal your thunder. I'll just give you a sample, okay, of some of the exciting things that the Scripture have to say, some of the exciting ministries that the Holy Spirit performed in people's lives. And it says not just about something He does, it says something about who the Holy Spirit is and about His mission. And so I want to encourage you to do that, but I'll give you just a little sample this morning. So let's enjoy the public reading of the scriptures together. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. You see all kinds of things, even in these few verses. Number one, you see God the Father. He's willing creation. He's initiating creation. He's giving rise to creation. We see God's Word in this verse. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So God's Word is more than just propositional. It's more than just hot air. God's Word has life and creative power. And so when God says something, those words contain within it the very power to produce God's will. So, and God said, and everything he said in Genesis 1 happened. It produced it in and of itself. And when the apostles of the first century are looking back on this, remember they've been taught by Jesus himself, the apostles had a certain reading of these verses. Do you know how they read these verses? You can see it in John's gospel. They said, and God said, that word said or God's word, they think that's a loaded word. All right, so how loaded is it? Well, here's the way that John's gospel begins, first of the gospels of the New Testament. And it begins much like Genesis begins, because it's the beginning again of a dawning of a new era. So John's gospel begins with these words, in the beginning, just like Genesis. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And so you know the way that John's gospel begins. So what they're doing is making a connection. They said when God said, when he spoke, that those words were not just a proposition. There's Jesus there. There's the Logos. There is the very Word of God that is present in creation. And bringing to creation to pass, so the Father initiated it, but the Son facilitated it and made it pass. And so they kind of look back on this, and they even see Jesus, the Son of God from the beginning of the world. So we see God the Father, we see God's Word, we see God's Spirit. And it says here that he is hovering. The Hebrew word there might be better translated brooding. Brooding. So that's maybe a little bit of an unusual reading for us, but here's the picture. The Hebrew used this very metaphorical word image, and it's like of a hen sitting on her eggs, protecting and bringing forth life out of that place. And so that's the imagery that the Holy Spirit is on creation, and he's bringing forth life out of it. And that is such an important connection between the Holy Spirit and life. You'll see it all over the place. They said of Jesus, his words are spirit and they're life. You'll notice in John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty. Anybody thirsty here today? Thirsty for more of him? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow within him. Now, notice, what kind of water is it? It's living water. It's water that gives life, makes you alive, fills you with the very life of God. And having said that about this water, the scripture goes on to say, by this he meant the Spirit whom they were later to receive. So he speaks about the Holy Spirit in terms of living water, like a water that brings life. It enlivens and fills you with the very life of God. So here's a picture of the Holy Spirit. And God the Father has brought forth the raw material. He's created something out of nothing. But the Holy Spirit now is sitting on it like a mother hen and bringing something out of that, bringing life to the fore. There's another word that is important here. And it's this word, formless. Now the earth was formless and empty. And again, in the Hebrew, the word formless carries the idea of chaos, actually. So I don't know if you've kind of read kind of literature on the subject, but the idea that at the beginning, God just creates raw material. And so there's the raw material of creation, and it's full of potential, but it is undeveloped potential. And so it's only as the Spirit of God begins to hover on it and the Word of the Lord begins to address it, then order comes out of that chaos. And undeveloped potential begins to become developed and refined potential. And so listen to the order. And God said, and it happened, day one. And then very orderly, day two, God said, I'm going to do this. And he did, and it's good. And that's enough for today. Then the next day opens up, day three, and he progresses it, he advances it, and he says, this is what I'm going to do today. And then that's enough. That's good. And the day closes. And so there's something very orderly that goes from a picture of chaos to a picture of real order. So now a lot could be said about this. Some people think, wow, talk about the Holy Spirit, you're probably going to produce chaos in your church. Well, actually, here's a picture where the Holy Spirit does the opposite. He went away from chaos. And he brews a sense of orderliness and beauty and develop. And he worked on chaos, undeveloped raw potential, and brought something glorious out of it. And I'm so encouraged by that because that's what I'm like. And that's what you're like. Undeveloped raw potential. Every one of us here. You think any of you think you've reached your full potential? I mean, if someone were to ask you how much of your potential in God do you feel like you have explored, what would your answer be? And the thought of that there is so much more potential in you than you've yet realized, and the thought that making space in your life for the Holy Spirit, for him to brood over you, and to work on you and to bring something wonderful and fruitful and glorious out of your potential is something that is absolutely heartwarming. So there he is, a state of chaos, and he begins to bring something very beautiful and fruitful out of that. Let's take a look at some of the other ministries of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Again, I'll just give you a sample. First one is Joseph. I think we might have this text up there. Joseph in Genesis chapter 41 has an extraordinary talent. Pharaoh has a dream. Neither he nor any of his counselors know how to make any sense out of it. And someone tells him, there's someone living here under your rule that just has this uncanny ability to make sense of these things. And his name is Joseph. So Joseph is brought before Joseph, or before the Pharaoh. The dream is told, and he says, I know what that dream means. And he tells them, and it's absolutely profound. And it has such an effect on Pharaoh that he says this, can we find such a one as this? A man in whom is the Spirit of God? He's just taken back because he knows that this isn't just a pure natural ability. The only way he could understand this is because the Spirit of God lives in this man and has given him ability, interpretive ability, to make sense of things that are otherwise senseless. And here's Pharaoh, just the ruler of a grand empire, who's just taken back, meeting one man in whose life God's Spirit lives. And he knows it. The only way you could do this is God's Spirit must live inside you. So a supernatural ability in this case to interpret dreams. Take a look at another one. Exodus 31 is about a man called Bezalel. And anybody here ever heard of Bezalel? I would think you have. Anybody else here heard of Bezalel? Well, super interesting. Okay? So anybody of you that are tradesmen, you're about to feel a very warm affinity here. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I've chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God. So having been filled, what does he do? What does it look like? Well, I have filled him with the Spirit of God with skill. Some of you have skills that God's given you. With ability. You have ability that God gave you. You've just had them so long that you don't realize the source. And they're so natural to you, you don't even realize that they may have been supernaturally given to you. That God gave them to you. That's all you've ever known. Ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts. Now, before hearing this, you may think, well, this isn't spiritual. Well, it sure is. If the Spirit of God gave it to someone, I guess it's spiritual. To make artistic designs. Anybody artistic here? The one of the points that's so self-evident is that it's the Holy Spirit at creation. In other words, he is highly creative. And so here he is coming on a person and giving them artistic ability. Anybody make it to last night to the evening? What a great evening. Oh, that was pretty artistic. So Josh Fritz, together with team, put on an amazing evening last night, and just incredible music and talent and artistry, and Daniel and his whole troupe had a kind of an African evening and music, and it was amazing. Reminds me of this verse. Very spiritual evening. To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood. Do we have any carpenters? All carpenters went, raw. Okay? Here's an anointed guy, anointed to work with his hands and work with wood. That's great news. To cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Isn't that beautiful? So here's a supernaturally anointed artisan. Supernatural artistic ability. Supernaturally given craftsmanship. So in our day, we wouldn't think of that as spiritual, that God wouldn't give someone those kind of skills. But the scripture shows us that this is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, and it's just as beautiful as any one of his other ministries. Take a look at a man called Othniel, who lived in the time of the judges. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he became Israel's judge. So here's a person, God's Spirit comes on him to give him what he needs for leadership at that time. It's also said about Joshua. There's another verse there in Deuteronomy, guys. Joshua. So at the time where Moses is handing over the reins of leadership to Joshua, here's the way that the transition is described. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom. You're going to need wisdom to lead a nation. Because Moses laid his hands on him. So here's Moses getting the end of his leadership, and he brings his successor in, and he lays his hands on him, and something from God goes into him, okay? And he is given the wisdom that he needs to be able to lead God's people on from that. So it's a supernatural anointing for leadership. Take a look at a couple crazy ones. Samson. Can you all remember stories about Samson? Okay, maybe you haven't thought of Samson in this light, but it says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily on him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat. Now that raises all kinds of questions for me. He tore a lion apart as easy as it would normally be to tear apart a young goat. Like, did ancient men just go around tearing young goats apart? Like, ooh. Just like, hey, this is nothing. This goat is nothing. It's just like kind of paper. But that lion, that's hard to tear apart. Like, it was like, these were like male feats of strength in the ancient world. I don't know. Tearing a goat apart seems kind of tough to me. And wholly undesirable. But can we have like a tug of war? Like a little less bloodletting, please? Like something. But anyways, you know, like Indian leg wrestling. Something, but tearing young goats apart? It's like, I'm glad we're living in the modern era, which isn't always that much improved. But anyways, Samson, the Spirit of the Lord comes on him, and he is filled with a supernatural physical strength. And he just tears a lion to shreds. And out of all of these, I don't know if I love one more than the other, but there's certainly moments in which I'd like that to happen. Can you imagine if you're down at the gym? And just people just look and think, who's that skinny preacher? And you load up about 800 pounds and just curl it with one hand. And you just watch the jaws drop. Like, I know you're not supposed to want these things for the fun of it, probably. There's probably meant to be some higher purpose. But a little fun along the way is not all bad. And Lord, if you could just let me load up about 800 or 1,000 pounds and curl it with one arm, you know, because I'd have their attention. You know, and so I don't know, that one kind of captures my interest in some ways. The next one is actually a little bit more unusual than that even, and I'm not doing this to show unusual. I'm doing it to show that the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament is sometimes much more varied than we'd like, than we think. He just does all kinds of things, but every one of them he has wrought and it's beautiful in its own way. Do you understand that in the New Covenant, that sometimes the ministries of the Holy Spirit that work amongst us, that we actually, there's ones that we like and ones that we don't care for? So for me, having been in the ministry of revival for years, one of the things I've trained my heart is I love all his ministries. If he wants to come on me and just convict me and show me something, I think it's just beautiful. If he just wants to come and just, you know, on, and just cause me to intercede for someone and just a prayer, I just think, oh, that's gorgeous. If he just, you know, if he just wants to come and I feel his sense of his fiery presence, that's just wonderful. But everyone is beautiful. Whereas charismatic churches tend to favor ones over one or the other. And that's got to go. If you're going to enter into a fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it has to be on his terms. He is called the Spirit of God for a reason. Of God, that means he's in charge. He's God. Okay? He's in charge. And so I love one of them as much as the other. If they come from him, they are all beautiful to us. One more that's a little bit strange, and that is Elijah the prophet. He's speaking to a man called Obadiah once, and he tells Obadiah, I want you to go give a message to the king, and this is not going to be a nice message to have to deliver. And so Obadiah says, you want me to go give this message to the king? And he's not going to like this message. And then he's got this phrase. He says, I don't know where the Spirit of the Lord may carry you when I leave. So Elijah just had this thing where sometimes he would deliver a prophecy and the Holy Spirit would come on him and he would literally just vanish. And the Holy Spirit would like poof and take him somewhere and transport him as in the book of Acts. And he would just end up on the top of some mountain somewhere. And so Obadiah says, I'm not doing that. Because you're going to send me, and then I'm going to turn around, and the Holy Spirit's going to have you taken off into the thin air somewhere, and I'm going to have to stand and take the heat. But that's still kind of unusual. Hey, weather like this would be very nice, but imagine, how does that work? I don't pretend to understand these things. Like, how does the Holy Spirit come on someone, and all of a sudden, poof, it's mentioned two or three times in Scripture, they're just on top of a mountain somewhere, they're just in another place. I'd like to try that, but and I don't know how that works. But in today's high fuel prices, but it's still beautiful supernatural transportation. But let me come on to. By far the most common phenomena is this. You've heard this phrase: the Spirit of God came on him, and he prophesied. Heard that phrase? Now, why is that the most frequent phrase? And I think it's because of this. More frequent than any other by far. It's because the one thing that the Holy Spirit wants to anoint more than anything else in all the world, what does the Spirit of God want to come upon more than anything else in the whole world? It's the Word of God. That's what he wants to anoint. So the relationship between the kingdom of God and the Spirit of God, but the relationship between the Spirit of God and the Word of God, what does he want to anoint? My words? No, his words. God has words. God has a message. God has a heart for people. There's things that God desperately wants to communicate to people around us. He has a message. And that's what the Holy Spirit would more than anything like in the world. All these are a bit unusual and they happen from time to time. But more commonly, the message of God, the gospel. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to anoint. And he wants to do it through you and me. So I'm thinking about this week a little bit. I'm going to have to cut this in half because we got communion. But I'll give you a little assignment this week. We're talking about the kingdom of God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. This week, would you grow in your fellowship with the Holy Spirit and make room and space for him in your life? Would you posture yourself toward him in an attitude of submission and say, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it? And would you offer yourself and say, Lord, is there a scripture, is there a word that you have for somebody in my sphere of influence? Okay, all of us. That you have for someone in my sphere of influence that you would want me to give that would be of encouragement to those people. When I was in New Zealand years ago, I think I was 23 at the time, I was staying in someone's house, a pastor's house, in the north part of the North Island of New Zealand. And one of his children a wee girl of maybe age 5 or 6, was very, very high energy. And probably because I was one of the visitors, most of that energy seemed to be directed toward me. So play constantly, tug on things, poke at things, on your lap, off your lap. If I'd even try to talk to anybody else, of course, there was lots of activity and try to discourage that. And it just seemed so high energy and high maintenance that I found myself after a while thinking, oh, girl, would you give me some space? Now, I'm 23 years old, never had any kind of interest in kids. But I just remember thinking, oh, give me a little bit of space. Like, is there someone else you can speak to? And so I looked for an excuse to exit the room. And that's all it was, an excuse to go to my room. Go to my room and just thinking, oh, it feels a little bit better, just a little bit of space. And my bed, and there's a bookshelf, and pastor's number of books. And I seen a book by James Dobson on it. So I pull down the book, open it up like this randomly. The page I turn to is talking about a certain kind of characteristic in children. And it describes this young girl perfectly. And it talks about here's what the behavior might be, but here's what her heart is yearning for. It's just learning for you just to acknowledge her. Just to acknowledge that child. Just to let them know they're significant, that they count. And as I read this, I just feel horrible. Because I didn't see any of that at all. All I could see is that she's irritating me. She's crowding in on my space. She's demanding. And I realized when I got back to my room, God didn't want me to think like that. So literally, he orchestrated this room, the bookshelf, of all the books I could have picked up, the very page I turned to, and God was in that. And to be honest, it's no less supernatural than in the Old Testament where the Spirit of God came on and he saw something. God wanted me to see my situation differently, and God wanted me to see that little girl differently. So he orchestrated all that. And sometimes we think that if God's going to speak to us, it's got to be kind of spooky. And I found my experience is that spirituality is the key of seeing God in the natural. Seeing God in the just daily, the everyday. It's like so much under your nose that if you're not looking for it, you'll miss it. Right there. And so God is in that room, in that bookshelf, in that book, speaking. He's orchestrating all of this. And he chastises me. And he lets me see her and see my situation differently. And I realize that's all she's looking for. Just a little bit of love. And I hit the deck. I just hit my bed. And I was just like, oh, God, I'm so selfish. And I'm so short-sighted. So when it talks about even prophecy in the Old Testament, part of it is just seeing things right. Being right in your sight. Seeing life correctly. Seeing God correctly. Seeing people from God's perspective. So I knew that I'm only half done this assignment. A change in heart and repentance is just the first part. What I go do about it now is the other part of the story. So I close my book, I go out, and it's all I did was just start to look at her different. And yeah, you can sit with me if you want. And you know what I'm doing? I'm communicating. There's something from God who caused me to see something different. And now there's something of God and his word for her. His message for her is now flowing through me. But it's no thus saith the Lord's. Like my body language is saying something. You're okay. It was saying stay out here. I have a perimeter and you are crossing it. Constantly. Okay, now my body language is saying I'm sorry. You're a good girl. And I want to get to know you and you're special. I found 10 minutes of that. She had totally calmed down. Just would sit there nice and quiet because now she knows she's affirmed. And she knows she's okay. And she doesn't have to strive to get it anymore. That's beautiful to me. If I could do that every single day, I'd be the happiest guy in Lethbridge. If every single day I could say, Lord, help me see this person differently. Help me see them differently. Remember Isaiah? On the day that King Uzziah dies, it's the whole nation is in mourning. It's the saddest event. And he gets, I saw the Lord. He saw differently. And one of the things he saw, I saw the Lord, and the Lord is reigning, like the Lord's not falling to pieces. He's okay. He's not fretting. Because the whole nation was, what do we do? What are we going to do? So he gets a vision into the throne room of God, and God is not saying, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And one of the things is the angels are just crying out, holy is the Lord, and the whole earth is full of his glory. Well, their earth didn't feel very glorious at all. The angels looked down from God's perspective, and they just saw the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord. And Isaiah just felt like, well, I don't see that. Not before this vision he didn't, but afterwards he went around and he walked through life thinking, wow, I gotta have my eyes open, because if angels see the whole earth is full of the glory of the Lord, I better start seeing some of that. I better start looking and seeing what's good in life and what's glorious in life and where God is working and not just where he isn't. So could we end this time and pray and say, Lord, is there someone in my circle of influence this week that by the help of the Holy Spirit who indwells me, he would help me to see that person differently? It'll probably be the person that most irritates you, but not always. It could be just someone at work with who's just a non-entity. You just see them pass. And so they've never been significant in your estimation until God starts to show you their significance. So help me see them differently. That situation, God, help me see it differently. And then that same Spirit of God who lives in and indwells us, do you have something? What's your heart for that person? And could I communicate that? What's the message of the gospel that I could communicate to that person? And if we all did that this week, think of the stories we'd come back with next Sunday. You're looking at me like, does he mean this? Oh, yes, I do. I love it. I love this stuff. Every day, every week, I just like, Lord, what do you want to? I just love it. It happens all to me all over the place, shopping lines. And yet I only do it, I probably get it wrong more than I get it right. I miss it and ignore it. I'm too busy. But even the few times where I do get it right, it's just loads of fun. And so I'm going to commit myself to making more space for God's Spirit inside my life and hearing better and following through better. So join me in a word of prayer right now. No use just talking about it. Let's ask that through this, he'll set us up for the week. So first thing, just in prayer, there's a surrendering of our hearts to the Holy Spirit of God. If you're uncomfortable with that, please don't go there. But if you are comfortable, just say, Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of God. You're the third person of the Trinity. I can trust you. The Spirit of God will never do anything contrary to the Son of God or to the Word of God. Never. Because they are one. So just even now in your heart, you may have to learn to do this. Just say, Holy Spirit, if you want to say, God, I submit myself to your Spirit in my life. I surrender. I make space for him. My life is too busy. It's too full. It's too preoccupied. Make him space. Now invite him not just to your heart. Invite him into your rest of your week. Just think of your life, your home, your work, your duties. And just tell him you want him to be central there. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit can't be just on and off. So think of your week and your home and your job. Make space for him. Make space for God. If you want to see God's stuff, then make God space. Make space for prayer. Make space for the Holy Word of God. Make God's, the Scriptures central. Make space for God's Word. Now, Lord, by your Spirit, just show us someone in our circle of influence and help us see them differently. be your last church. You left because of some negative, challenging things. But maybe the Lord would say, but there's a few good things there too. Praise God for those things. Bless God. So you leave that place blessing it. A friend, a co-worker. Help me see them like you see them. And now say, Lord, can you give me something for that person? If not today, through this week, give me a scripture for them. God, the Spirit of God wants to anoint the Word of God. That's what he's passionate. He wants to anoint the gospel of God. So what way can I convey the gospel to somebody? That God's got good news for their bad situation. Make it, say, Holy Spirit, put in my heart such a passion to reach them. Work through me. Speak good news to that person. Someone you just know, that you just know their marriage is just breaking down. What does God have something to say there? Some of you are going to write letters overseas. There's a missionary, and the Lord is just going to put on it. All of a sudden, you're just going to feel you should write them a letter. And you don't even know what they're going through, but your letter is going to hit the mark. Obey the Lord. For one of you, I can feel the Lord is going to got a message for you to deliver to your bank manager. You think that's so odd, you're going to arrange a meeting or see them or communicate them in some way. And it's just going to be all people, it's a bank guy. It will be one of his more unusual appointments. A neighbor. For someone in your life, I can feel the Lord is going to ask you to deliver a message of real encouragement to someone that knows you, you know a bit, but that person, that's the least thing they'd expect from you. He's going to cause you to surprise someone, amaze someone with grace. Just be amazing. Because they've probably done a lot of wrong. And they know it. And so they do not expect a word of encouragement. You're going to be driving taxi. The Lord's going to give you a message for someone. So, Father, as we bring this to a close, we make ourselves available that the Spirit of God would be strong in us, that he would have his way in us, that we would not grieve him or resist him. But that he would anoint us to deliver the gospel, the Word of God, the message of God.